great future. We're talking real money.
How many years in a row can you give a kid an Xbox or a PlayStation or an Apple Watch or a whatever the gadget is? How many times can you do that? And it just, and then what happens to that PlayStation or that gizmo or gadget that you gave? It's old. What do you give? What is the gift that this holiday season you should be rushing out to buy and you don't have to go to any special sales? What is the gift that keeps on giving? I'm Don McDonald. Tom Koch is there in the aircraft hangar. You have wisely chosen to listen to Talking Real Money, the podcast, and you are, that makes you a brilliant person, a highly attractive, way above average, superior human being. And so, therefore, we want to help you figure out how you can make your family and friends better human beings. Well, particularly family. We're going to stick with family. By giving them a gift that really makes a difference this year.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think that's good.
What does... Didn't I just bunt that your way? It was a real soft pitch.
It was more of a Russell Wilson throw across the middle.
It was a soft little pitch. It just came right over the plate.
Okay, all right.
It was there for you to hit. I'm not out doing well. To the crowd.
I haven't felt well
since I was
in Doha.
Jet lagged. Yeah. He is still jet lagged. Plus he was so excited about the U.S. game with Iran.
Oh God. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So let's do that again.
Let's just do the whole thing again.
I'm putting this on the air.
Fine. You're talking about giving this holiday season, right?
I am not editing this. Okay. I am not
fine.
Editing.
That's fine. I'll take one for the team here. Fine.
Wait. This idea was yours.
I know. Okay. I try this every year, and this first year you've ever let me do it, so I guess I better get on it. This idea is, but it actually comes from something you said like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
What you just said is we have a tendency to give people things that they won't necessarily in a year even remember getting and play a little role in their lives. So what can you do that's a better, more lasting gift, better giving to, and in this case, your kids and grandkids, right? I kind of broke
kids,
it down.
Kids, grandkids, yeah. Nieces, nephews, you know.
I broke it down into three areas: money, education, or retirement.
Yeah.
So when it comes to money.
But let me tell you, what is the common denominator of those three things?
They're financial.
Money.
Okay.
Money is the common denominator.
All right. Pardon me. I'll rewrite it. Cash, education, or retirement, which is still going to be cash. Anyway, I mean, so when it comes to the cash portion, now most people know about the 529s, which are a way to save for a young person's college education. The money grows tax-free.
Or you take it other out. Post-secondary education.
Thank you. That's right. You could use it for trades. Actually, you can use it in high school now, too, technically.
Oh, well, yeah. That's right.
So you could take it out, and as long as it goes to educational expenses, no taxes on that. So you put the money in, it grows, hopefully in the market, you take it out. So that's something we've talked about for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do. We talk about that a lot because... it's so critical that, you know, a lot of kids go off with huge debt, as we keep talking about in the news.
Yeah.
And it's better if you can help them get there without that debt.
And which is the plans? So I think I have some money at West Virginia and at Utah, both of which are use low cost index or index style funds. They have no commissions. The costs are very low. And I use a age-based program. I don't do any work other than putting the money in.
You're basically putting it in a target date fund.
Exactly.
Age-based solution.
And I've got it there for my daughter and my grandson. So I love that approach. But here's the thing about that. You only really want to do that if you are that person's likely to use the money or has a relative that would use it, right? Because you could move it from one to the other. Or if education is something that's important to you, because people ask me all the time, well, I don't really, you know, they want to go to school or go to trade. They can do that on their own, but I want to give them something so they have something after they turn 21 or whatever. then you could use a uniform gift to minors, right?
But let's talk about the downside of uniform gift to minors accounts. It's either uniform gift to minors or uniform transfer to minors, yeah, UTMA, UGMA.
Correct.
And this is the thing that parents hate. And that is when your child reaches the age of majority in your state,
it's their
the money belongs to them.
And they want to go buy
a
car.
You can do what my wife did, and that was neglect to tell my daughter about it until she was 28. Oh, I forgot. You have a UGMA account.
There's some money there. and here's one of the mistakes, I think, and by the way, because this came up today in the office, somebody's like, which would make sense? And in this case, I said, well, how about both? I mean, there's not one or the other because this person, young person, may or may not go to school. There's no other relative to hand the money off to. And I said, then do both. You're right. You give up control in some ways. But here's one of the big mistakes I see. I just went online and read about holiday giving. Almost every time people write about that or write about giving money to young people, what do they say? They say, give them stock in XYZ company. It always is that, because then they can see how great owning Amazon is or Apple or what. And no, that's a bad idea, because for all the same reasons we tell you not to own individual stocks, because they're risky, right?
Right.
Because it doesn't encourage
investing. It encourages gambling.
Speculation. Yeah. Speculation. So instead, you could just own, and I only mentioned this one because I remember the tickers, VT. There's also Avantis Global.
AVGE.
Either one. Okay. Yeah. So those are ways you could give them cash. You could also buy them a savings bond, right?
You could, except my grandfather, I think, bought savings bonds for all of my kids, and we have no idea where they are.
Oh, the government just took it and bought a jet fighter with them.
We have no idea where they are. No clue.
That's sad.
And so, I guess we can probably figure it out with their socials or something, but I don't know.
But anyway, go ahead. You can go to Treasury Direct if you want to do that online. Bingo, bango. Yeah. Right.
Okay. What else you got? What else you got?
The other one was education. A couple of ways.
No, you did education.
Well, I got a couple ways. Number one, you could give them, and I know this is not always a pop. It's like the sweater you get from grandma. You could give them a book. You could give them Don McDonald's book.
Actual education.
Actual education. You could give them,
I thought you were talking about the 529.
No, you could give Don McDonald's book. You could give Paul Merriman's book, which I think is relatively simple. Those are ways to help. But here's another way. And I've seen this done and I love it. If you got a kid, and I say kid with air quotes, who's like 28 or 30.
That's my youngest kid.
Yeah, and they're just starting to make some money. They got all these kind of, should I buy a house? Should I do that? You could give them a financial plan. You could hire, there's people that will do financial plans for young people. And you write the check and you get, I've had this done for relatives of our clients. By the way, we do this free for our children of clients, but relatives who have said, hey, I got a nephew, needs help, blah, 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 wants to write a full plan. We've done that for young people. I think it's a great idea. You're poo-pooing it, but I love
it. I'm only poo-pooing it because I know how young people are at 28. I got one.
Yeah.
You know, she makes money, but she doesn't make money.
It's not at the core.
She's living on the ragged edge.
Yeah. Right.
Which means she's not funding a Roth IRA. She's funding her 401k at work, but she's not funding a Roth IRA because there's no extra money.
Yeah.
Or she claims there's no extra money after all the stuff she buys.
Yeah, I know. But for people that have, we got one of those in the family too. But for people that have some financial, things to consider, as you said, maybe they try to decide between a 401k and Roth IRA. Should they buy a house? Should they, pay down debt? All these things. Sometimes a financial plan makes sense. But here's the one, you mentioned this a moment ago, so you kind of stole my thunder, that I love the most. I love this so much that I've done this for my 14-year-old daughter now, because she's been working for, believe it or not, 3 years for my wife.
Okay. When your parent owns a business.
Yes. And so it has to, you have to have income.
Earned income.
But you can do earned income, a custodial Roth IRA for a young person. And you can put however much in that up to however much they made. So if the kid made $500 in 2022, You can fund that custodial Roth IRA for the $500. And then if that kid is 14, they're going to get 50 years of growth. And hopefully they'll remember you in 50 years. And they'll be very happy that you did that for them. I love that as an idea for giving.
I think that to go along with that, you ought to, as soon as they're available, record a digital hologram of yourself for when they turn 65. Write that in your will that this has to be played
I'm
for
Tom.
Them.
You yeah. watch
and
this
I provided
now.
You with this comfortable retirement.
Please say something nice about
your,
me to others.
Your comfortable retirement brought to you by your grandfather.
I love that one. And it's gotten more popular, I think, over the years. So there's a few ideas. I think doing this, these sort of things for young people is extremely powerful. I know some of this, some people think you give them stock so they kind of understand how the markets work. I think it's the other way around. I think you give them the stock market, then they understand the power of markets rather than sort of speculating on individual stocks. So any of those, cash, so education, could, or retirement, I think they're fabulous.
You could give them junk or you could give them a future.
Exactly.
Or as Tom would choose, you could give them a model airplane kit. They're the gift that lasts forever on Tom's ceiling.
They will be here for a long time.
The reason I mention them is because we do the podcast from two different places. I'm in Florida, Tom's in Washington. And so we look at each other over the recording thing. And every time, I get his camera's down low. So I am looking up at this.
What are you looking up at? Here's
it's
the
sort
question.
Of a hodgepodge
what kind
of aircraft.
What kind of plane is that above my head there? Huh?
I really can't tell what is above your head because of the angle.
That big one right there that I'm pointing at. Huh?
I can't see the nose of it, so I can't really tell.
Right, that's fine.
It is a World War II bomber.
It is. That's correct. Look,
it is
narrowed it down.
It is a.
It has
24?
A star on it. No. You're
nope,
close.
17?
Yep, B-17.
Oh, wait, yes. Okay, I see two engines. No, four engines.
No, it's four engines, yes.
Yeah, so four. Okay, I thought I saw just two engines, which would be the 24, right?
No, the B-24 had four engines, too.
Which one had two engines?
B-25, B-26, you know, those, but not the heavy bombers had the four engines.
What's that bomber then over there? The one to the, toward me. There's a bomber with the Bombay
that
doors.
One right there?
Yeah,
that's
what's
the
that
B-24. That's got four engines.
It's got four. Two, see, three. I can't see some of the engines there
because
of this angle.
Two on the one side, two on the other. Exactly.
You don't all care right. about this, no, do you? All right.
they want to know.
Do you
how
have
about
any
some
questions?
Yes, of course I have questions.
If you want to ask questions about money or World War II aircraft, just go to talkingrealmoney.com and record it there or type it in like this.
And this comes from Eric in Williamsport, PA. Who writes, hi, Don and Tom, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now and love your simple approach to investing.
That's because we're simple tons.
Yeah, simple people. What is a modest man with much to be modest about? In regards to the three funds at three groups, do you recommend, and this is at our website, and we have them for Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard, I believe, where we show you which funds to own. Do you recommend 1/3 of the total portfolio value in each fund? Or is there another breakdown you recommend? I don't remember hearing you mention this in a podcast, but I may have missed it. Also, you do recommend moving money between the funds annually to keep the basic percentages the same.
Part two, absolutely.
Well, that depends a little bit in terms of whether or not it's qualified an IRA or a Roth. Then no-brainer, but the other one maybe. Yeah,
there may be tax ramifications, but generally speaking, we believe in rebalancing. Yeah, you do have to take taxes into account, but I rebalance in my taxable account because I want to keep the balance because I invested in that for a reason. Now, the three funds that we share with you, two are stock funds,
yep.
And one is a bond fund.
That's right.
Now, we don't recommend that you go 33-33-33 unless your risk profile makes that appropriate. The right way to do it.
33-33-33 is a fairly aggressive portfolio because you're almost talking about 70% in stocks.
70-30. Yeah, it's about a 70-30.
Yeah, so it depends how old you are, how long you still need the money, and how much bounciness you can accept.
You have a 70-30, and you're old.
No, I have 80-20.
Okay, I have 70-30, and I'm old.
You're older than me.
I'm older than you. But what you want to do is go take the risk quiz first. We also have that at talkingrealmoney.com. Take that. That will actually tell you when it's done and you get the PDF version, it'll tell you what your allocation should be. How much U.S., how much international, how much stock, how much bond,
yeah,
not U.S. international.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we believe you should probably split the U.S. international right around 50-50.
Yeah.
Or maybe 60 U.S., 40 international, but no less than 40 international.
So you use those percentages to imply that to how much you have in stocks versus how much you have in bonds. You build the portfolio. You could do it simply, though, a third, a third, a third. That's just an aggressive portfolio. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. It's just not the answer. There, problem with answering these kinds of questions is there is no absolute answer for everybody. And it's the answer most of the time for us is it depends.
Yeah, might be. All right, we got another one where it depends, too. You're going to love this. This comes from Janie in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Tom and Don, I love the podcast. Found you this year, and I'm catching up. I don't know. That means you're going back and listening to the whole podcast.
1,056 right now.
Well, you got a lot of catching up to do. My question, I have a friend.
Sure.
That inherited $1 million in after-tax money, not Roth, that's sitting in cash. She's 65, wants to invest in a 60-40 portfolio. We wonder if she should invest the 40% fixed income portion into one-year treasury bills until the bond funds rally. So wait until things go up and then buy them? Is that what I'm getting here?
What would you guys do?
By the way, she will invest 60% stock portfolio into a globally diversified portfolio. That's wonderful. The only question is about the fixed income portfolio. Thanks so much. So yeah, I always wait until things go up to buy them. I mean, for example,
Buying them when they're on sale.
Yeah, I mean, if you notice, like around the Christmas time, the day after Christmas, there's often sales. I never buy those because why would you want to underpay for something? That doesn't make any sense to me. I'd rather wait until peak pricing.
Blame you.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait on bonds until, you know, next couple of years they go back up. No, okay, we're being silly.
Sarcasm alert! Yeah, sarcasm alert!
I'm sorry, but really. Okay, but this gets back to a point that we hear all the time. I want to wait until X. I want to wait. It was the election. Remember, we had the guy call us. Right. I'm going to wait till after the election. Well, what's happened since the not much?
I'm going to wait until things are better.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's always normal. I'm going to wait until things are normal or better.
Yeah.
And the question you need to answer is, how do you know when they are? There is no, here's what happened in 2008. This was a very, very common occurrence. Back in 2008, Tom and I were doing this. We were talking on the radio, on podcasts. We've been doing, and in the end of 2008, early in 2009, people just gave up. That's when the capitulation occurred.
That's right. Yep.
Everybody said, okay, this market's never coming back. It's down 50%. I'm getting out. February 2009, the market went up some. Now, we talked to people. Well, okay, so it's gone up some. What is that? Well, it went up in 2008 a couple of times too.
Yeah.
So it's just another one of those dead cat bounces.
Yeah, fake
as they
rally.
Like to say it.
Get your money in and then boom.
Rally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in March, it continued to go up. Then it went down a little. Then in April, it went up. And then it kind of went down a little.
But
then
generally, it kind of went up.
Went down a little. Yeah, generally, it's going up. And it pretty much did that with occasional downs.
Yeah.
Just to trick you into thinking, okay, it's going to go down again so I can get back in. We talked to so many people who never got in. They didn't get in until 2019.
Just in time for March of 2020 when, I mean, remember how much? Okay, so let's go back. Let's just talk generally about this. Your asset allocation, in your case of your friend, the $1 million, 65 years old, 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, that's about her, not about the market.
Right.
The market is going to be the market. Stocks may get crushed. I don't know any of that. You don't know any of that, but you're going to build that portfolio for how much you're trying to make on it, how much bounciness you're willing to accept, and how soon you need the money. That's it. It has nothing to do with waiting for the Santa Claus rally or waiting for 2023 because it's going to be a better year for bonds. No one knows that. So get over it. Invest properly every single day and have proper asset allocation because we do know one thing. that being properly invested over the long haul has been a much better approach than sitting and waiting or market timing. We know that.
And let me just throw a little curve at you. The price of bond funds has been pretty steadily falling since the beginning of 2021. Really, there was a little dip. Let's just say the middle of 2021 is when the big decline started, and then it really accelerated in early 2022. But starting at the end of 2022, just a few weeks ago,
guess what?
Bond funds rallied, and they rallied pretty substantially.
Yeah, no, they've had a good run. Again, we don't know if this will last. I do know one thing about bond funds right now.
Is this February of 2009 for bonds, or is it a dead cat bounce?
We don't know that, but one thing I can tell you about bond funds, the yields are far better than they were a year ago.
Oh, my gosh. BND, the Vanguard Total Bond Market ETF. The current SEC yield is 4.28.
So you're going to make something. The value could still go, and I might expect it because the Federal Reserve has already said going to raise rates again. That probably
But they've already said it.
Yeah,
the market already knows it.
Price that in. Yeah. So you're right. We don't know what the price, but again, I do say that there's no reason to time your way into anything, because that over the long haul has been a strategy that has cost you money. Part two, bonds are now paying closer to more of a historical average, if you will, in terms of yield.
Yeah, it's getting closer to normal. So
yeah.
I would put the money into something like short to intermediate term bond.
Well, you could use BND. You just
BND
mentioned.
Is a
fun.
Perfect sure. example.
Yeah, why not? Yep.
It really is. It's a broadly diversified fund from Vanguard. Its expense ratio is, get this.
How much?
0.03%.
It's just ridiculous. Barely paying anything. Can't beat that.
So thanks for your questions.
Yeah, good one.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Thanks for being there all the time. We really appreciate you. If you need help, you need bigger help than we can provide here on the podcast or the show, go to talkingrealmoney.com and meet with one of our advisors. Here are a couple of things that are unique about our advisors at Appella. One, we will not charge you for this meeting, but a lot of people will do that. But two, we're not going to sell you anything. Wait, there's three.
Oh,
we're actually going to give you actionable advice and information that even if you never hire an advisor, you will be better off in some way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We'll give you real advice, and you're going to get that and walk out the door whether you hire us or not. I think that's
correct.
How I put it. So
that's
well done.
That's a good way to put it.
All right.
So yeah, just go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on meet an advisor, or call 800-386-3004.
And is that it? Because I'm going to go back to my Kelly Clarkson CD.
You're going to sing Christmas carols?
Okay. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Start those going here.
Is that your cure for jet lag?
It's my cure for everything, which I need badly.
All right. Well, Tom's out of here. That means I guess I'm out of here.
You're done.
I'm done. That's Tom. We talk real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That should keep the lawyers happy.